Brother Laxon.
Hello, Pastor Wim.
Yes.
Hello, how are you?
Well, I am doing well, and I'm thankful that you're there to be able to be of help to Brother James during this time.
Yeah.
I understand that you'll be
okay.
Preaching for him there in Lilongwe.
Yeah.
Well, the Lord, He raises up and He puts down. I'm thankful that we're not alone, and certainly look to Him to continue to direct and guide. Well, Brother Laxon, why don't you go ahead and lead the time of worship there, just like we normally do, and then when it's my time to speak, just let me know.
Thanks very much. Without thank you very much, Pastor Penny. This is what we are doing this afternoon. We are singing the song concerning about Jesus Christ, who is called the Great Physician. Now we ask Pastor Mabote Wile to open our section with a prayer. Thank you, Pastor Wile.
Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for this wonderful afternoon you have given us, Father, today. And this Lord, we are prepared to hear our gospel. Use our blood again as he pronounces, and he is going to preach this gospel. This will come afternoon here now, and in the morning there in America. Father, we thank you for this amazing voice. We thank you for worship here in this place. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Now, this is your time, Pastor, for all what you studied last week. Thank you very much, Pastor.
All right, well, thank you. Will you be translating for me, Brother Laxon?
Yes.
Okay, I will go slowly until you can get used to to me. So, if you would look in your Bibles to Acts chapter 4, and if you would read in your dialect verses 13 down to verse
22. Koma pakuona kulimbika mtima kwa Petro ndi Yohane, ndipo pozindikira kuti ndio anthu.
Stand by while we try to get them back.
Chisabugenso kwa anthu. 18. Ndipo anawaitana na walamulira kuti asanene konse kapena kuphunzitsa mdzina la Yesu. Koma Petro ndi Yohane adayankha nati kwa iwo, weruzani ngati nkwabwino pamaso pa Mulungu kumvera inu koposa Mulungu. Wente, pakuti sitingathe ife kuleka kulankhula zimene tinaziona ndi kuzimva. Koma mmene anawaopsanso anawamasula osapeza kanthu kakuwalanga chifukwa cha anthu. Pakuti onse analemekeza Mulungu chifukwa cha chomwe chidachitika. Vesi lomaliza. Pakuti anali wazaka zache zoposa 40 munthuyo amene chizindikiro ichi chidachitika. Thank you.
Very good. What we're going to be looking at today is the confidence and boldness that the Lord gives to His preachers in the face of opposition to the gospel.
Ababa zimene tikhale tikuona leroli ndi chimene Mulungu adapereka kwa ophunzira ake amene akhoza kutenga mawu a Mulungu kulimbika mtima komanso kuti ngakhale atakumana nazo zoti zikhoza kumalitsa kuti asalekere mawu a Mulungu koma bei wapo zoyima.
From verse 13 that you just read for us, where it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John.
Izizi zikuchokera pa verse 13. Zimene zikuoneka kuti ndipo atawaona kuti anthu adali olimbika mtima Petro ndi Yohane anthu amene wawa adali olimba mtima.
I truly believe that there's nobody that can stand and boldly declare the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ unless the Spirit of God has first of all revealed Christ in them.
Ndinoti ndimakhulupirira kwathunthu kuti palibe munthu amene akhoza oyima ndi kulalikira uthenga molimba mtima ngati mzimu woyera sangathe kukhala naye komanso ndi kumuululira Khristu wopachikidwa mwa iye.
There are many today that take the Bible and they will stand and preach their understanding of the Bible so long as there's not opposition.
Alipo anthu ambiri masiku ano amene amangotenga Bible nkuima paokha nkumalalikira uthenga monga amene wakhoza kulalikira uthenga.
You have many there in Malawi. We have them here in the United States. In fact, across the world, there are many, many, many preachers. But what distinguishes the preacher of the gospel is the boldness with which that preacher, those preachers, declare the glories of Christ.
Amene amalalikira mawu a Mulungu. Koma chimene chimasiyanitsa pakati pa anthu amenewa ndi amene Khristu adaululika mwa iwo amayima molimba mtima kulalikira zinsinsi za Khristu Yesu.
This word here, boldness, I don't know what word it is in your dialect, but in the original, it means to speak openly, but also frankly. It means to be plain in speech so that there's no question when we're done what it is we're saying. There are many preachers today that don't preach the gospel plainly, well, first of all, because they've never been taught it by the Spirit, but secondly, because of the fear of man. They fear that if they declare the gospel as it is written in the Bible, that they will suffer persecution and opposition. But one taught of the Spirit will freely, openly, frankly, but cheerfully, that we're not cowering to declare the glories of Christ is a blessing and a privilege. So my question to you preachers gathered there and any listening with us online is this, that is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ your joy? Is this how the Lord has taught you? If so, then you will joyfully, openly, without compromise, declare Christ, because that's what it is to preach the gospel, Christ, just as he's revealed in Scripture.
Inayo kusulanga kwa inu ya azulani kamene mugumba panopa ndizi kuti kodi inu yo muma lalikira Yesu Kristu amene adavumbulutsidwa kwa iwe kapena muma ngo ulalikirapo mmene maganizo na makhalira koma chofunikira kwambiri ndi kulalikira Kristu amene adavumbulutsidwa komanso ndi kulimba mtima kwonse mopandaso mopanda kunyengerera.
If you look in Romans chapter 1 and verses 16 and 17, you'll see how the Apostle Paul described his joy in preaching the gospel. Romans 1:16 and 17.
Yeah, Roma chapter 1, verse 16. Pamene pakatwa Paulo akulankhula molimbika mtima kufunika kwa kulalikira mawu a Mulungu mosaopa komanso mosanyengerera. Pa verse 16. Pakuti uthenga wabwino sindizikisa manyazi, pakuti uli wamphamvu ya Mulungu yakupulumutsa munthu aliyense wakukhulupirira kuyambira Myuda ndiponso mu Helene. Pakuti mmenemo chaonetsedwa chilungamo cha Mulungu chakuchokera kuchikhulupiriro kuloza kuchikhulupiriro monga kwalembedwa koma munthu olungama adzakhala ndi moyo ndi chikhulupiriro.
You see, he says there, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You can tell when somebody's ashamed. They have a difficult time looking you in the eye. They're looking around. They're talking around the subject. We don't do that as preachers of the gospel. But that word ashamed in the original has an even stronger meaning. It is the sense of disfiguring something. So imagine if you had a picture and somebody came and started disfiguring the picture, adding a little mustache and making the eyes look different, and they were changing the picture. Let's say it's a picture of your son, and they began to do that. You'd stop them. You'd say no.
Yeah, thank you very much. I was seeking assistance from Pastor James. Yeah, apapa mena kulangulira akulangula kunena kuti manyazi nimene monga mene mwamvera mena kufukuzira Brother James kunena kuti ngati mwachamulisa chithunzi cha mwana wako ndiwona wina wacha mkumba chinyozese ndioti zimakhala zoti zimapatsa chithu ena pache munthu mwina kuma kumu koma manyazi sabu munthu sikofunika kutuzira manyazi ndi uthenga wa Mulungu.
So when Paul says I'm not ashamed of the gospel, he's saying I'm not trying to change the gospel. That's what people do when they start preaching in code. They don't really want to say what it's saying. They talk around it. Paul says, I don't do that. There are preachers that preach because they want the people to like them. They preach to be liked. But our goal in preaching is not to be liked. Our goal in preaching is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, who is everything to the Father. Whether men hear it or not, whether men believe Him or not, we still preach to the glory of Christ.
Za Yesu Kristu amene ali choyamba cha Mulungu, chondukula choyamba cha Mulungu. Ndi kulalikira kumene kuku sikuone kuti anthu ungakhala anthu akonde kulalikira kwanuko kaya sakukonda koma pena chofunikira kuone kuti mulalikire Kristu amene inu munamtumikirani.
Now the translation in English says, for it is the power of God unto salvation, speaking of the gospel, but it could also be as easily translated, He, speaking of Christ. Whose gospel is it? It's the gospel of Christ. He is the power of God unto salvation. Christ.
Yesu Christ.
Now that word power there in verse 16 is actually the word from which we get the word dynamite. Have you ever heard dynamite? They take dynamite to blow up a building or a mine. You see, this is what it takes for the conversion of sinners. It's not my interpretation of the gospel. It's not my explanation of it. But it is the gospel of Christ that is the power of God for the salvation of those that believe. Those that believe, if they truly believe on Christ, it was God who worked in them. This power to know Christ, revealed Christ in them. You see, this is what men ignore today, because they've been taught that salvation is a decision of man. That's why preachers ask them to walk an aisle or raise a hand or say a prayer, because what is being preached as salvation is not salvation. I say this for the encouragement of you preachers there and any here that are hearing this, and that is that we have everything in the gospel, even though men oppose it, but everything in that gospel clearly, boldly set forth is what God uses for the salvation of sinners. Nothing more, nothing less. To put this message aside, clearly set forth in the scripture, and to attempt to preach any other way in order to get converts, you'll get converts, but they won't be to Christ. They'll be to you, they'll be to your message, but not to Christ. It brings out the question, which would you rather, a house full of people who are ignorant of Christ because of preaching another message, or a few that meet because God Himself, by His gospel and the glory of His Son, has drawn them, has revealed Himself in them? Which would you rather? I'd rather the latter. And you notice what Paul says here in verse 16 of Romans 1, to the Jew first. In other words, that's where the Lord said it should begin, in Jerusalem, in Judea. But then he said also to the Greek, which means that this is the same message regardless of race, Jew or Greek. It doesn't matter. One message.
You see,
I don't have to change my message because I'm preaching to you there in Malawi. No, I declare to you the same message that I preach to the congregation here in the United States. It doesn't matter the race or culture or society. It's the power of God unto salvation. Christ, the gospel. But I will also tell you that even for someone like yourself, Brother Laxon, to be able to even translate this message into your language, it's more than just a physical act of translating. The Lord has to give you the same understanding and persuasion in this gospel, because there are some, they're not hearing me, they're hearing you. And if that spirit is not in you, as I've had over the years, some that have translated for me that don't know how to preach this message. So they translate around it. Now it takes the very same spirit of God even to translate it.
Munga and I like Utenga Wu, Mina, Tuna, Akuzo, Mamba, Maso, Kumoka, to Mina, imagine a full of women would have Zimu, Mio, thank you. Continue.
That's good. We're helping each other. I remember one time preaching in Ivory Coast, and I couldn't tell what the translator was saying, but there was an older man in the audience listening, and about just as I got started, this old man stood up and said, "We need somebody else because he is not saying the same thing you are." I remember that happened when I was out there, I believe it was in 2007, and Brother James had organized that meeting there in Machinji. And the man that stood up and that was translating for me, I remember after I finished, everybody was talking about him not even saying what I was saying. And Brother James took it over. That's where he became persuaded that he needed to be the one doing the translating. It's the one in whom that spirit of Christ has been revealed. You see, I might be preaching salvation as of the Lord, and the person who translates might be saying that salvation is of the Lord, but you also have your part. You see, that's perverting, that's disfiguring the gospel. But this is the boldness that Peter and John, it speaks of there, because We saw it last time in verses 10 through 12. Be it known unto you. They were stating specifically, they were declaring a Christ that crowd hated. They referred to him as Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, in verse 10. They spoke with boldness.
Tigona mene analidi Petro and Yohani Pavesi ten. Yamajid the four. Kuti Zindigirani in nonse. Ni andu onse a Israel. Kuti mzina la Yesu Christu Nazalayo. Amene inu mudam pajika pantan. Amena mungana mugichawa gufa. Mwaye mutu mutu yu amiyabo pamasobanu wamwe. Mawya wawa ndugulankula morimbika mtima.
For them to disfigure or be ashamed of the gospel, Peter could have just stood up and said, in the name of Jehovah God, this man stands whole among you. And he would have been telling the truth. It is Jehovah God, but that's not the whole story. It's Jehovah God in the flesh, in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. Now, that's plain. That's plain speaking.
And
we don't find Peter apologizing. We don't find him saying, now I know this is going to offend some of you. No, he just declared Jesus of Nazareth, whom ye crucified.
And
just so that they know, because he could have just said, Jesus of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, they would have been thinking in their minds, oh yeah, he was an imposter. That's why we crucified him. But you notice Peter said, whom God raised from the dead. He's showing that sacrifice was approved of God. That's why he raised him.
Yesu Kristu Nazarayo, amene mulungwana mungitsa wakufa. Ndiyuti zikusonye zaditu kulankula mosabisa, kumaso kulankula molimba mtima.
Now we know from reading other verses of Scripture that God raised him from the dead because God approved his sacrifice for the salvation of his people. It's in the death of Christ.
Timaona mawena amene mwene kuti mulungwana mungitsa wakufa.
There's many a preacher today that will stand up and preach that Christ died, but they don't preach the whole story. Why did he die? For whom did he die? Is there salvation in any other way? It's not Christ plus, you see. It's very specific. If God raised him from the dead, that means God approved that sacrifice once for all.
Yeah.
If you look at Romans chapter 4 and verse 25, you'll see what I'm endeavoring to explain here. It's not just a matter of saying Christ died, but why did he die? What did he accomplish? That's what it is to speak with boldness.
Romans chapter 4. Verse 25.
You see, Peter declared that this Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, God raised again. Well, why was he crucified? It says there he was delivered for or because of our offenses. That word offense means transgression, to be in rebellion against God. And raised again for or because of our justification. You see, there's some who preach that Christ died, and yet they say, but if you don't believe, then you'll end up in hell anyway. That's what they preach. There's people in hell, they say, for whom Christ died. That's not the gospel. If I read this correctly in my Bible, and I hope it's translated that way in yours, it doesn't say here who was delivered for all of our offenses except for unbelief. Does your Bible say that? Every offense except for unbelief. Mine doesn't say that. You see how men disfigure. They disfigure. That's what Paul said. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed to preach that those for whom Christ died, he paid their entire debt. Period. Even that of unbelief. Because isn't that what is our worst sin, is unbelief? There's some that preach that Christ died for every sin up to the point of when you believe. That's what they preach. But then they say, after that, then you're going to be held to account. So you better make sure you walk right, talk right, be right. Otherwise, you'll annul the work of Christ for your salvation. They believe you can lose your salvation. I dare say that's how some of you have preached and perhaps still preach. I pray not, but if you are, if you're saying that Christ died for every sin up to the point that you believe, but then after that, you might lose that salvation, that is not the gospel. That's perverting the gospel.
Umene usuthengo umene uti tikhozolekira kuwathu yani.
See, men like to put conditions on people to say, well, if you really want this, then this is what you have to do. The lame man that the Lord healed through the message of Peter and John, he healed him by grace alone. That's what Peter says. By this same Jesus, whom you crucified, but God raised from the dead, this man stands, what does it say, whole before you. God doesn't do things halfway. And that's what that means. God raised him from the dead. If God had not been satisfied with that sacrifice of Christ, he would not have raised him. Christ would have remained in the grave. But we know that's impossible, because everything the Lord Jesus did, he did to the glory of his Father perfectly. That's why it says here, who was raised in Romans 4:25, who was raised again for or because of our justification. Justification means to be acquitted from all guilt. So that means everyone for whom Christ died, when he rose again, they were already acquitted of all guilt because of the death of Christ. And that's why you read in chapter 5 and verse 1, it starts with, therefore being justified. Having been justified, having been declared righteous before God. How? By the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we're justified before God, in that death. Now here again is where there are preachers that go astray because they've never been taught of God. They'll say, yes, salvation's of the Lord. They'll say, yes, it's through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then they'll say, but if you want to be justified before God, then you must believe on Christ. They make justification to be the result of something that the sinner does. But that's not the gospel. You see, if the Lord has opened your eyes or my eyes to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's because we were already justified when he died. You see that? It's not in order to be justified that I believe, but because I've been justified, that I believe.
Tiko muna mwa na kuna kuti inuyo ndi inayo ndife alkoti tidalunga misiwa kare osa li chifuwa yone kuti tika kufubili ya kuti tika lunga misiwa kuma kuti chifuwa chani fayambu ya watu Yesu Kristu ife dalunga misiwa kare.
Now is that an important difference? Absolutely. Because to preach any other way of justification before God other than the cross is to preach another gospel. You see, in Romans 5 and verse 1, I don't know how it's written in your translation, but the editors of this Bible in English put the punctuation mark in the wrong place. It should be, therefore being justified, comma, by faith we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is the fruit of having been justified already, you see.
Monga mene alimbira pa verse 1, agula kuti monga mene kuna funika kuna funika kuti pano funika pa rangiruti tsono popeza tayesedwa olungama kama ndi chikhulupiriro kama tidzakhala ndi mtendere ndi Mulungu mambuye wathu Yesu Khristu.
In your translation, did they put a comma after faith?
No. There's a comma.
Yeah. See? But to do it that way, it would mean being justified by faith. In other words, by your believing. But that's not what it's saying. That it's connected with verse 25. Therefore, being justified. How? By the death of Christ, comma, by faith. God gives faith, and that's what gives us that peace with God in our minds and hearts through the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, does that mean there's a mistake in the Bible? No. In the original, in the Greek text, there's no punctuation. But in the translation, there are some men that have put punctuation to make it easier to read, but there's where we have to be careful, the translation. That's where I want you to come back. I want to finish up in Romans 1. We looked at verse 16, but look at verse 17. Romans
1:17.
See, here's where words are important, because it says, for therein, that is in the gospel of Christ, it says, is the righteousness of God, the justifying grace of God, the justice of God, what? Revealed. It doesn't say accomplished from faith to faith by your believing. No, it was accomplished in the death of Christ, but it's revealed from faith to faith. I know there are those that say, well, you can't see in the heart of a man or woman, so you can't really judge. Well, out of the heart the mouth speaks. And this I know, that if Christ has truly been revealed in your heart, you will declare boldly, just like Peter, that your salvation was accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ, and that your believing is just the fruit of what he accomplished, not the cause of you believing. The faith is not the cause of your salvation. It's the work of Christ alone. You want me to repeat it?
Yeah.
Okay. It's just simply to say that if the Lord has been revealed in your heart, you are declaring that your salvation was accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Okay, so when it says here revealed from faith to faith, it's God by His Spirit revealing in you that which Christ has already accomplished. You see. And that's why it says there at the end of verse 17, the just, that is the justified ones, those that have been justified by the death of Christ, live, they shall live by faith. In other words, God gives that faith to everyone that Christ has justified before the Father. Okay, so come back to Acts chapter 4, because this is the message that Peter declared with boldness. Now again, he didn't apologize. He didn't say to them, now I know some of you might be offended by this message. No, he said in verse 11, the very stone that is Christ, which you set at naught, in other words, have rejected, what does it say there? Is become the head of the corner. In other words, God has made this to be the cornerstone of salvation for His people, the very one that you reject. When he says there in verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, that means in any other name, any other person, but in any other way. God doesn't have several ways of saving sinners.
Verse 12,
palibe dzina linalilonse pansi pa thambo
pakuzopulumutsira
munthu pansi pa thambo ndipo ndi Yesu Khristu yekha basi.
You're going to run into people that like to justify their profession. They'll say, well, that's not how I believe, or that's not how I see it, but I still think I'm saved. No, there's salvation in no other way. No other means than that singular work of the Lord Jesus Christ alone.
Abadu antuena ama yesense kuna kuti inayo ndimatindikaona inayo ndiye ndine woyera inayo ndine munthu kuti ndapulumutsidwa kale koma sicho ncho iyayi chipulumutso ndi Yesu Khristu yekha ndipo chipulumutso adachita ndi Yesu yekha basi.
I've had people get upset at me and tell me that, well, I don't believe the way you're preaching Christ, but I still think I'm saved. Well, you know, we both can't be right. You can see there in verse 12, it's very specific. There is none other name under heaven given, that is by God's giving among men, look at it, whereby we must be saved. There's no wiggle room. It's either Christ has paid your sin debt or he hasn't. Now, do you know what men will say about you if you stand and declare this message just as clearly today? Do you know what they say? I'll tell you what they tell me. They tell me I'm too narrow, that the message excludes too many. You ever hear that?
Yeah.
And I always tell them, go ahead. Yeah.
But if it is not going to turn out longer than only a bamboo, yet it's going to go into the movie.
I always tell them, what would you rather? A broad bridge that only goes halfway across the river, or a very narrow bridge that goes all the way across the river? I'll take the narrow bridge every time.
Amen.
Thank you.
You see, that's what Christ said. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. These preachers that are trying to get everybody saved, they don't preach Christ, they're preaching man. That's a bridge that goes nowhere. The narrow, straight is the gate that leads to eternal life. And few there be, but those few are the ones that the Lord has purposed to save. I'll tell you another thing that they're going to say about you is that you're a cult. That's what they tell us. That's what preachers say around here in Shreveport, that our congregation that meets here is a cult because we preach such an exclusive message. But I'll tell you what, I'd rather be called a cult by the way we worship God than to be involved with those preaching some broad, general message and not Christ. All right, we got to get Brother James quiet again. We don't want, he's not supposed to be working. All right. But look at verse 12. You see, that's what that word boldness means. Or verse 13, I'm sorry. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and it says, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. All that means is they had not been taught in the schools of the day. We don't learn this gospel in preacher school. We learn it from Christ.
Tikamanena zakukulugira monga mene wamaganizira amafuna ne kuti munthu akhaloti wapita ku sukulu monga mene anthu amachita masiku ano koma si monga mene luthengo mulungira.
I dare say that if the Lord so teaches you men there, you don't need a preacher school. You don't need a certificate. All you need is what the Lord reveals through His Word, and that will be Christ and Him crucified. Amen. And you notice it says there they marveled. We're not trying to impress men, but I will tell you this, they will marvel when the Lord enables you to stand and declare the gospel of Christ boldly. The world will marvel. They will wonder, is what that word means, at this message. When I post certain scriptures or comments on the internet, I have a lot of acquaintances that know me from my business because I work just like Paul as a tent maker. But they marvel. They will comment. They'll tell me when they see me, what you're preaching is different. And they will ask you, just like they asked me, where did you go to school? Where did you learn this? They think it's in some institution somewhere. And I tell them, I didn't learn it in a preacher school. It, when it pleased God to reveal Christ in me, then I can preach what I preach.
But
the sum of it is that last part of verse 13 where it says they took knowledge of them that what? They had been with Jesus. I don't believe there's any better testimony that you could receive of men than that. Preach this gospel means that we have been with the Lord. In other words, He has been with us. He has taught us to be with Him in the sense of Him being the teacher. There's no greater testimony.
Mm-hmm. pamene munthu unayamba kukhalabonde yesu aliunkhalabonde
Now, there's another aspect to this that is just as important. Because remember, we're not that far removed from the time when Christ had been crucified. And it was this same council that had ordered the execution of the Lord Jesus Christ by God's will. The point I'm making is that who were the two disciples that followed Christ all the way to the judgment hall? Who were they? We know one was Peter
and John.
There you go. In fact, in John, he says that he actually went into the judgment hall while Peter remained outside by the fire. You remember that? And you remember around the fire, the Lord had said that before the cock crowed, this was early morning, Peter would have denied the Lord three times. Didn't he do that? Didn't he deny the Lord?
He did. Ababa mutika ona, pamene Petro ama otamoro, atukusana kusana aje, Petro adamka na Yesu kataru. What is mean sana jide? He did that.
He did. What's the difference between Peter and Judas? They both betrayed the Lord. And yet, here is this same Peter. That's what it says. They took knowledge that these had been with the Lord. They're amazed. Because these, just a few short while earlier, had been denying him, and yet now here they are standing boldly declaring him. What made the difference? The difference is the grace of God, but it's also the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ paid Peter's debt. He did not pay Judas' debt. And one went out and hanged himself, and the other, here he stands boldly declaring the glories of Christ. That's the difference. It's Christ and his grace alone, period. And I have to say that that's the difference, even for myself. I started preaching way too early. I started my first message I ever preached, I was 17 years old. You see, I could say that I've been preaching for 43 years, but I've not been preaching the gospel, but for 30 of those years. And if you go back, and some have, they've listened to old messages back before it pleased God to reveal Christ in me, and they'll say to me, well, you're preaching differently today than you did then. And I say, thank God.
And
I say it to my shame that my preaching before it pleased God to reveal Christ in me was a denial of Christ. Even though especially since I used his name, not even knowing who he was. But I'm thankful today that those who hear me will say there's a difference. And I pray God it stays that way. Well, we got as far as the Lord purposed today, and Brother Laxon, I appreciate you translating. I believe the Lord's given you the grace to do that, and with some help from some of the others, but prayerfully the message has been communicated one more time. I'm going to stop there for today, but certainly we have all of you in our prayers. And Brother James, get some rest.
Definitely. And I'll be more helpful than I am today.
Well, it's as the Lord's purpose, but make sure you take care of yourself.
I do, and carefully the medication that we are getting and the love and support from my wife, and even the saints here will also sustain us, and even the prayers from all friends over there. And I want to appreciate you and all those of you who are online right now are hearing me. That I appreciate their love and their support. May God bless you so much.
Amen.
Thank you for coming. thank you for listening to the word of God. I think Brother Lackson was good, though he was by the grace of God making it for the first time. I believe that as he continues, the Lord will give him utterance and he will be able to understand and translate accurately as he hears from the preacher. Let me ask him, Brother Ken, to close with a word of prayer, and there goes one way also. It's up to him. Brother Ken, over to you.
Amen. Let's look to the Lord. Gracious Father, I pray that you would take this word and bring it home to our hearts once again, how we need the refreshing water of life, which is Christ, upon these dry, dead souls of ours, apart from your grace. I thank you for Brother Laxon, for giving him the wisdom to be able to translate, and for those that helped. We know, Lord, that this work is not the work of any one man other than Christ. The harvest is plenteous, the labors are few, but I'm thankful for the few labors that you have been pleased to raise up, not only there, but here, and that it doesn't depend upon any one of us, but upon your grace and mercy and spirit. Even as we've witnessed today, having struck Brother James and set him in a state of weakness, and yet others that have gathered to be able to carry on. And together, it's a reminder that we're but members of the same body, and yet the life of that body, the head is Christ. And I'm thankful that it is so. You do care for your work and will continue to care for it by your grace and mercy. There's not one thing that's going to be lost for which you have purposed the glory to be to your Son. So we give you the glory, and I pray for them there, our brethren, as they prepare for worship tomorrow. I ask your blessing and grace for me and others here that are helping me as we prepare. Lord, that as you give utterance, that it be with this same boldness that we've seen today to declare Christ and Him crucified and salvation and none other, and His work perfectly accomplished for sinners such as we are. And for that we pray and look to you for that strengthening. And we know that this message, this gospel that gives Christ all the glory, is the very power of salvation to as many as believe. Those that believe, you've made it to be that power unto them. And so we look to you and give you all of the praise and glory in our dear Savior's name. Amen.
Amen.
Lord bless you there, and we'll be in touch. And certainly praying for you and supporting you there with our prayers and gifts as the Lord enables.
Thank you very much.